Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Hello to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirita with Mary Lynn Nemechek, and we're going to do a little detour today. We have been on an endless series, it seems, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which this is just the latest iteration of one of our favorite topics, which is, of course, the building, edifying, charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts. We were in the middle of a spiritual gifts handbook by Randy Clark and Mary Healy, but I thought I would take a little bit of a detour and just go into the mechanics of having a good prayer time. There's a lot of people out there who perhaps don't really understand what that means. They think that maybe saying, you know, a short prayer every day is going to do ya. But and while it's better to say a short prayer than not to say a short prayer, it's probably better to groove habits of connection and of conversation with the beloved, who is God, who is Jesus, the lover of our souls, into our daily lives. Because what is it? It takes 6 weeks. Is it 6 weeks to get a habit, and then a habit forms a virtue, and then a virtue is a... Anyway, there's
30 days, I think.
Okay, so it's like the idea is to get into the idea of a habit of prayer. And also kind of the mechanics of what does it mean to pray and why should we pray and don't we pray when we go to Mass? You know, one of those things. Yes, we do pray when we go to Mass. The daily Mass is always a great option. But I would suggest to you that it would be good also to have a daily personal connection as well as Mass, but also perhaps beyond Mass. And I know that most busy people, lay people, are going to tell me, well, don't you know all the things I have to do? And I am reminded of what St. Francis de Sales said to who spoke to lay people, which was rather unusual in his day and age. He actually wrote a whole manual on for lay people and how lay people could grow in holiness and grow closer to the Lord. It's called the, oh my gosh, what's that book by the devotion? It'll come to me. But anyway, it's the famous book by St. Francis de Sales, and he speaks about just the habit of prayer. And he says, if you're busy, if you're a regular lay person, you should pray an hour a day. And if you're busy, then you should pray 2 hours a day. So that, you know,
which
it's
true.
a manual for the devout life, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Introduction to the devout life. That's what it is. Anyway, and so the idea is at this point that we just kind of unpack maybe a little bit of scripture that invites us into a relationship with the beloved, and then maybe a little bit of a how-to if you're not familiar, or maybe if you are familiar, maybe some good ideas that might help you further in connecting. I know personally for me, having a daily time of prayer is essential for my well-being, for my peace of mind, for everything, really, because I know that once I have done my communicating with the beloved, that then my whole day is informed in prayer. Another thing that I have found out is that you don't necessarily have to have a whole hour all together. You could, like I do, very seldom do I have a whole hour, but I do have a half an hour, or have 40 minutes, or have 20 minutes, in which I could perhaps go to the Adoration Chapel and have a holy 40 minutes or a holy half an hour instead of a holy half hour, a holy hour. We think sometimes in terms of it's that or nothing. Yes, it's good to sign up and have a holy hour and do the 1 hour, but I think that so often we perhaps limit ourselves to that. But I think that, that what the Lord wants us to do is groove the habit of prayer in our lives throughout the day. So I've been trying, I try very hard to say the morning prayer, to say the morning offering, to go to the morning prayer section, to say the Psalms, to read the readings, to pray the Benedictus, you know, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, and to just give the Lord and to read perhaps the meditation of the day. I go to Magnificat, which is a booklet that we all use for mass readings, but it has a whole lot more. If I have time, I'll do the Liturgy of the Hours. I'll do the morning prayers and the invitatory in the Liturgy of the Hours, which is the prayer of the church. If not, I'll just say this brief morning prayer, and then I will go to prayer sometime during the morning. I'll either go to Mass and have a short time of personal prayer, or I'll go to adoration. I mean, I'll have some sort of a combination where I'm able to listen to the Lord more, do my Liturgy of the Hours, journal, right, in my prayer journal. Okay. And just practice hearing from the Lord, you know, like who, what do we hear from God speaking to us now? So those are the mechanics. Of course, then I always try to do evening prayer if possible, night prayer, you know, just ways to anchor yourself in the daily hours of prayer that the church offers, which they she offers us for a good reason, to kind of stay connected. What do you do, Mary Lou? What do you find useful
well,
for daily prayer?
Well, myself, I have, you know, structural prayers where, you know, instead of going to Mass once a week, to try to go more often during the week. I do have an adoration time each week. But I do have, like, and use, as you mentioned, the Liturgy of the Hours, the Magnificat. But what I find and what I think you're describing is when you're doing these mechanics and these different things, you tend to pray all the time, pray about everything. So in every circumstance, you're going to pray for it. And so in the morning when you're getting up and you knowing what your day is going to be, you're going to pray for guidance for that, or for protection, or for answer to certain prayers, or for prayer intentions for other people. I mean, it's a constant thing. It's like, you know how you have something running in the background? Mm-hmm. It's prayer. It's running in the background all the time, because mm-hmm. prayer is the essential thing to anchor our life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a good, I think a good picture is an anchor. You know, an anchor keeps us tethered on the ocean floor in one place so that our boat does not drift.
Exactly.
And I think it's a good image, because we tend to drift, especially in our busy lives. We tend to drift from one thing to another. And
prayer is a conversation with God. So who else do you need to talk to who knows everything about you, all that you're going through, and can provide the answers than him?
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely.
He should be the preeminent person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we turn to.
Amen. And it is. And I think that especially as Catholics, we have the wonderful, rich tradition of the sacramentals. We have the Rosary and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and whatever novena we may be happening to say at the time. We also have the Angelus. We have the prayer at midday. We have the Divine Mercy Chaplet that we can say at 3 o'clock, the Hour of Mercy. I mean, there's so many ways in which we can just structure our day in a way that at least we remember. If we're at a stoplight at 3 o'clock, we'll say the Chapel of Divine Mercy, right? If we're somewhere at 12 o'clock and we're going from point A to point B, it takes literally 2.5 minutes to pray the Angelus, which is commemorates the Annunciation.
Right.
And so anyway,
there's just all the prayer sometimes when you wake up during the night and it's in that 3 o'clock hour. What are you called to do but to say a Chaplet of Mercy for whoever needs it at that moment? Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're called to prayer at different times for different situations, and we need to be attuned to that. And
that's right.
And you know, the St. Michael's prayer, which I say every day, is just indispensable. And it used to be said at the end of Mass years ago when I was growing up, but it's a prayer protection. And mm-hmm. You know, what better way to start your day or end your day with that?
That's right. It is. It's a great prayer. I usually pray it at the end of my rosary after my prayer for the dearly departed, you know, when I pray for all the dead and all that stuff, because it's a good way to cap things off. So you know, let's go back to the basics. So why should we pray? I mean, I think that's a good, you know, a lot of people may want to start there. I mean, you know, what is prayer? Prayer is conversation with the beloved. It can be spontaneous, it can be scripted, it can be structured, it can be out loud. It can be silent. It can just be mental. It can be contemplation, where we just look at the Lord and the Lord looks back at us. It can be praise and worship. It can just be intercession. It can be Thanksgiving. It can be many, many, many things. So that's prayer. And prayer is just basically a conversation. So we've established that. Now, why should we pray? We pray because God has invited us to do so. One of the verses that really struck me as I was looking into this is Jeremiah 33:3, where he says, the Lord says to Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. So right there you have the reason to pray. Call to me means to pray. And if you do that, if you pray, God promises to answer us. And not only to answer us, but to tell us his secrets. To tell us his great and hidden things that we may not have known before. It is during prayer that he can give us incredible answers or wisdom or knowledge about things that we are praying for or people that we are praying for. But we're not going to hear all these things unless we open the communication channels, okay?
And another point to that, Father Jacques Philippe, when he talks about prayer, he always says it's an indispensable in strengthening our determination to refuse God nothing, practice detachment. And I think that's a necessary part of prayer, any type of prayer. And I think it does lead to that abandonment that we're always looking for, to, as we've said many times, that, you know, we're not of this world. This isn't our true home. So we kind of have to detach ourselves from all this noise and material things and everything of the world. And that prayer time gives you that outlet to focus on what is the real good, who really loves us, who can help and answer any prayers or situations we find ourselves in. How can I describe it? It gives me such comfort to pray. I guess that's the best way I can describe it.
This is how God the Father addresses the Israelites at the time of Solomon. If my people who are called by my name, and here are some prerequisites. You have to humble yourself. You have to turn from your wicked ways. And you have to seek the face of the Lord. So if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then what's going to happen? He says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So right in those, just that one verse, there is all the requirements. We need to humble ourselves. We need to ask forgiveness for our wicked ways, for our sin. We need to seek the Lord actively. So that doesn't just mean sort of like a little courtesy prayer. Oh, well, Lord, I got you taken care of. I just said 3 Hail Marys. Okay, goodbye. You know, it's we seek the Lord. We seek the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And praying is reaching out. And if we do all these things, these are promises in Scripture. He has promised that he will hear. He has promised that he will forgive. And he has promised that he will heal. So those right there, in those verses, I think there's just huge.
They are
just huge. Just huge, you know. I think it's just amazing, I think, to me. The promises that are of God, which are right there, present in Scripture. And so many of us just gloss right over him, don't take him at his word. So those are some reasons to pray, right? So we know what prayer is, and now we know why we should pray. Well, another reason why we should pray is because the Lord did, Jesus did. It shows in the Gospels constantly how Jesus was always praying. He was always in a place by himself praying. I looked up some verses having to do with prayer, which I think we should be interested in. And I'm just going to give you a few. Mark 11, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. That's Mark 11:24. Then 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to the God. So there you have some pretty straight commandments. James 5, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. And then if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's 1 John 5:14. John 15:71, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
That is marked in my Bible.
Isn't that amazing?
My go-to verse. Absolutely.
That's just ask and it will be given to you. Obviously, you can't ask for things that are outside of God's will, but if you are asking things that are consistently within his will, the conversion of loved ones, the conversion of the world, well-being, healing, and all that stuff, there's always an answer. And God says, though, and it says somewhere, that he actually holds back blessings unless we ask them for it. He asks him for it, which is pretty crazy, you know? Expectant faith. If you say, take this mountain and be taken up and throw it into the sea, the mountain will take itself up and will throw itself into the sea. So whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. If you have faith, that expectant faith that we have been talking about, then, of course, all two of the Gospels give us the Our Father, which is the perfect prayer. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. That's James 1:5. Luke 11:9. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. That's prayer. Then there's the example of the widow who goes back to the judge and keeps bothering the judge until he does what she wants her to do. What she wants him to do. Luke 18, and the idea is that she is persevering. So the idea is that we will be persevering in prayer. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's Romans 8:26, and many of us believe that to apply to the gift of tongues. Which is the private prayer language that the Holy Spirit gives us under certain circumstances. I'm just doing a little review here. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. That's Luke 11:1. And when he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Psalm 141:2. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you. That's so beautiful.
Yes.
If you ask and do not receive, it's because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. That's James 4:3. We talked about that. Ask something that is within God's will, and he's happy to do it. Then there's that beautiful picture in Revelation 8:4, where the angels tip the smoke of the incense in the bowl gathered with the prayers of God's people that go up before God from the angel's hand. Pray for one another, James 5:16. Casting all your anxieties on him, 1 Peter 5. Let's see, Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Matthew 18, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And finally, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So I think we had a pretty good selection of verses that should convince us of the necessity to pray at all times, to give thanks in all circumstances, because that is really going to be the only way that we are going to achieve the peace that we have so longed for. So how? We've done the what, we've done the why, now let's do the how. How do we pray? Especially in our busy lives, choose a specific place to pray away from distractions so you can concentrate. I mean, that's kind of a obvious thing, right?
Right.
Don't choose to pray in the middle of the mall, right? Or rather, pray in the middle of the mall, but don't make that your fundamental
your prayer place.
principal time. It's good to find a place. Like, I like the Adoration Chapel, but I also like my own office, and I like certain places. You can't just limit yourself to one place. It's nice to have a place in which we can go regularly, but we shouldn't let the absence of that place send us, for a loop. We should be able to pray at all times, right? Pray at the same time every day. I always try to pray in the morning if possible. That's that's my principal time of prayer. But like I was saying, I try to do morning prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, to pray in the midday, to pray at 3 o'clock. I mean, you know, I try to make a lot of times in which I pray, but my principal time in which I really sit down and I listen to the Lord and I write down what I hear him saying is going to be in the morning, because that really helps inform the whole day, as far as I'm concerned, like you were saying. Yeah. I think that's a fundamental time to really, you know, concentrate on what is important. I like to pray out loud, if it's at all possible. Obviously, if you're in the Adoration Chapel, it helps to pray out loud. It helps to praise and worship God out loud with the voice that God gave us. If you read the Psalms are not quiet. The Psalms are loud. It even says to be sung or chanted with the timbrels or with the tambourines or with the lyres, you know, pray out loud. Many people can pray under their breath or in their minds for long periods and still maintain focus. But for most of us, I know I tend to fall asleep. I need to enunciate. Now, yes, mental prayer is very important, but usually for me, it starts out as verbal prayer. So if there's any way possible that I can do that beforehand, even if I'm going adoration first, I will stop and I'll sit in my car and I will praise the Lord and I will pray out loud. Or if I have some certain prayers that I want to say out loud, I will say them out loud. And then I'll go to adoration. Of course, if you do it at home, then it's a bit different, you know? So
right.
I think that for many Catholics may be a new thing, because we think that prayer is only something we say out loud together, like the Our Father or the Hail Mary, but it's not really something that we can do out loud. But in fact, I think the Lord wants to hear from us as we use our entire body. In our next show, we're going to go a little bit more into the topic of having a daily prayer time. Thank you for joining us.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.